Thanks, Louisa. Just before we have the readings, I'd just like to pray with everyone for both you and the foundation. Lord, I want to just give thanks for the Open Home Foundation, that here is a Christian organisation in the midst of others, taking in children, the homeless, doing just what you desire for each and every one of us to do in reaching out to those with needs in our community. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this organisation, and thank you for people like Louisa who have stepped up and are fulfilling your will in this community. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first reading, and I presume, Greta, that they're in the order that we were given them on the sheet, is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God did what he purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. And the second one is from Isaiah, chapter 58. Sorry, I should have given you the page number for those who want to follow. Chapter 58, verses 6 and 7, which is page 720. The kind of fasting I want is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry, and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. And the third reading is from Matthew chapter 25, page 38. It's verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes as King and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me."
go? Is it on? Well, Louisa, it sounded like we talked before today, but I've never met you. And these passages are all about caring for those in need. And you came today and you said, open up your homes. And this is what the passages are all about, is caring for the need. So I don't believe that that is by chance, that that happened like that. And I believe that this is the message that God wants us to hear today. And I think we've said a lot today and we've heard a lot about gifting and opening up your heart and asking God, how can I give? What can I do? We've heard about a need in society. We've read these passages. So I think I'm going to share now what God put on my heart. It's about the kingdom. But I think if there's one thing all of us must take away today from this service is that God wants us to do something. God wants us to open up our hearts, open up our hands, open up, just live open, and share share what we have to give with those around us. So today, my title for my message is As It Is in Heaven. As It Is in Heaven. And the question is, what is heaven like? Not how does it look like, but how is heaven like? Because I've wondered a lot about heaven. Because we read a little bit in Revelations about heaven, but I've wondered, am I going to know my loved ones when I get to heaven one day? How will my first conversation with God be like? Will the angels be singing loudly or softly? How will it be like? And I assume that you have also wondered what heaven is going to be like when we get there. So that is my message today, is as it is in heaven, what is heaven like? And I watched this movie a while back, was it in 2009? And this movie actually gave me a very good picture of what I think heaven is going to be like according to the scriptures. Now, I want to show you the poster of this film, if you can just show that. I wonder, two of you watched this film? Can I just see by raise of hands who actually watched this film? Okay, fantastic. I'm so excited about the next film coming out, the end of the year in December. I think they said 16 December, Avatar 2 is coming out. So this is a fantasy movie. And for those of you who hasn't watched it, can I just see that you raise your hands? Who of you hasn't watched it yet? So I need to tell you what the storyline is of this movie, because a lot of what I'm going to say comes from this movie. So this story, this movie, came out in 2009, but it is set in the future. It is set in the year 2154. And in this movie, mankind needs to mine a very precious mineral on a moon in the Alpha Centauri solar system. And this mineral is called unobtainium. So it's a company from Earth, and they need to go up there and get this mineral because they need it to survive. The humans need it to survive. But now the thing is, the people living on that planet called Pandora, they live in perfect harmony with nature. And the only way they could mine that specific mineral is by talking to the native tribe called the Nafi and negotiating with them. And the only way that you can actually walk on that planet, Pandora, because this is a fantasy, right? The only way you can walk on that planet is by incarnating into a body that was designed by very advanced biotechnologies, where they take the DNA of a Nafi and the DNA of a human, and they combine it, and you get this new body, and then you go and live on that planet. A lot like Jesus. Jesus came from heaven, incarnated into a human body and lived on earth, right? So this movie is about this. So this actor, Jay, his name is Sam Worthington. He incarnates into this avatar and he goes and he lives on this planet. And he negotiates with them. How can we get this mineral that we need to survive? So I'm not going to share the rest of the story because you have to watch the movie. It's amazing. But the point I want to make is that in this movie, this tribe, the Na'vi, they live in perfect harmony with each other and in perfect harmony with nature. And it's so inspiring to see how life can be like when you live in perfect harmony with each other, spiritually, and with nature. So the interesting thing for me was, after watching this film, there was a lot of different takes on this film. People like me are very positive about this film, but there were also people who were very depressed after watching this film. So you can maybe show the next slide. These were some of the comments after people watched the film. I felt really depressed when I woke up in this world again, said a guy named Okoy. Then there was another man who wrote, or another boy who wrote, his name was Worshen, writes about one of his acquaintances who was 15 or 16 years old, who committed suicide by walking in front of a train after seeing the movie Avatar. You can show the next slide. After watching Avatar for the first time, I felt really depressed about waking up in this world again. And then another one. I even considered suicide, thinking that if I did, I would be born again in a world similar to Pandora's, and that everything would be the same as in Avatar. How is it possible that people can watch this film? It's just a fiction. It's just a fantasy. And that people can get so confused with what is fiction and what is facts. That people, after watching a simple movie, a feel-good movie, a fantasy movie, can become so depressed that they can consider suicide. What happened in those individuals' hearts? Why would they consider suicide? A North American Avatar fan website received 2,000 messages under the headline, "Ways to cope with the depression of the dream of Pandora being intangible." Philippe, the forum administrator, said, "The movie is so beautiful and it gave us an idea of something we cannot experience on earth." He believes that this is why people get depressed after experiencing the film. And that is the reason. Because these people were so inspired by this movie of perfect harmony. And then they thought, you know what? We live in this extremely broken world. And I desire that. I desire to be in a place that's like heaven. I desire to be in a place where no one fights, where there's no tears, where it's just perfect. There's no loss and people are just happy and no one exploits anyone else and nature is just flourishing. It's just so beautiful. And then they realize after watching this movie, I live in this broken, broken world where there are children who don't have parents, parents who long to have children but can't, where people miss their loved ones, where relationships are broken. This is just not the reality. We live in this broken world. But now my question is, why do we fantasize about heaven? Why do we get excited about a world that's perfect? Why do we long so much sometimes to get to heaven? Why? Why do we have this desire in our heart to live in a perfect world when we live in a broken world? Why do all of us desire for this country or this world to be a better world Why do we work towards it? Why do we pray towards it? Why are we just not satisfied with living in a broken world? Why do we long? Why do we long? I wrote this quote by C.S. Lewis. You can put up the next slide, please. He wrote, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We were made for another world. We were made to desire perfect harmony, because that is how God created earth. When we go back to Eden, we see that that was the design. God created a perfect world where all the relationships were perfect. The relationship that God had with mankind, the relationship that Adam and Eve had, the relationship that Adam and Eve had with nature, it was perfect. And then disharmony came. So we will always long for that perfect harmony, because we were created for a life where we can experience perfect harmony. This other world that C.S. Lewis talks about, Jesus taught about. What is this other world? We read of two opposite worlds in the Bible. We read of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we read of the kingdom of earth. And then Jesus says in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." So what Jesus is saying is, I've got another world in mind. This, what you are experiencing, this kingdom of earth, this brokenness, this pain, this sickness that you are experiencing, this is not my heart. This is not my design. My kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is where everyone lives in perfect harmony with God, each other, and with nature. So, after Jesus' baptism, he began preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus teaches a lot about the kingdom. Jesus teaches way more about the kingdom of earth, the kingdom here, his kingdom, than he does about heaven. Way more. He said the kingdom is at hand. Matthew 4 verse 17 and Luke 10 verse 9. Why do you think Jesus would say that? Why would Jesus say, "My kingdom is not of this world," and then say, "My kingdom is at hand"? Because he is saying that he is the king and he is here. That is what he is saying. My kingdom is at hand. It is here. It is near. "The kingdom of God is in your midst," he said. In Luke 17:21, we read that. Jesus explained his kingdom mission on earth as follows. That passage that was read in the beginning, Ephesians 1 verse 9 to 10, you can put that up. "Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time." So this is God's plan. This is why he came. "To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." So Jesus is explaining the reason why he came to earth. It's not just to save souls. Jesus didn't just come so that we can one day go to heaven. His mission is to unite all things in heaven and on earth under him as the king. That is his mission. If God's only mission was for us to get saved, for our souls to get saved, so that we could end up in heaven, which is a perfect world, one day, if that was the mission, to get people to believe in him and for them to go to a perfect world one day when they die and then experience perfect harmony, if that was the purpose, why do we still continue to live after we are born again? Have you asked that question? Why are we not beamed up like in the alien movies? We get saved, we are beamed up into heaven, and we there enjoy the fruit of our born again, of us being saved. Why do we continue to live on earth after we are born again, Christians? And I think I know what you want to say. Let me ask you, in the middle here, what's your name? Gabrielle. Have you been listening? Why do you think we are not beamed into heaven just after we get saved? If God's only plan was to get us into heaven. So we can teach them, okay? So that they can get beamed up as well. So what if you got saved, right? And you got beamed up right there, or just here. What if someone here today got saved and they got beamed up right there? Would we have to tell people, or would they think, oh my word, what just happened? Where did that person go? Maybe I must find out where that person went so I can go as well. I think if people got beamed up like this just after they got saved, people would ask questions and they would go and read as much as they can to understand where their loved ones went. Why are we still? That's a very good answer. That's a very, very good answer, though. Why are we still here? Because God's only purpose, Jesus' only purpose, was not just to save our souls. It was not just to save us so that we can go to heaven one day. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It means that God's kingdom, God's desire, is that his kingdom starts to download on earth. That is his desire. His desire is that the kingdom of heaven is seen on earth. That the kingdom of heaven is experienced on earth. That perfect harmony that he desires for us to experience, that we can start to experience that now already. His desire is for us to experience good relationships, fantastic relationships with people around us, with nature, and definitely with him as well. And he wants us to partner with him so people can experience that as well. So yes, it is definitely telling people about Jesus. Because otherwise it's just social justice that we're doing. You know, otherwise we could just be Oranga Tamariki, who just does social work. He wants us to talk about him, definitely. But he wants us to do more than that. Interesting. Jesus didn't just go around and tell people about him and that he is the Savior. Jesus did miracles. Why would Jesus heal people if Jesus' only desire was for people to go to heaven when they die? Why would he feed them if his only desire was for them to follow him? Because he cared about their bodies. He cared about their souls as well, definitely. But he cared about more than their souls. When the kingdom of heaven started to download while Jesus was on earth, there was physical needs that were met, the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000, the physical restoration, curing of the blind, the lame, and the sick, and spiritual bondage, casting out of demons and calling tax collectors to repentance. To establish the kingdom of God on earth means to follow Isaiah 58 and Matthew 25, that was read before I started to speak. The kingdom is about bringing healing to the afflicted, binding up the brokenhearted, releasing people from captivity, setting people free from bondage of every kind, redeeming everything diminished by sin, meeting needs and giving hope. Everything. All efforts that improve life are kingdom work. So here are a few examples. Helping vulnerable people, alleviating suffering and pain, tackling poverty, working to reduce poverty, securing affordable housing for families and the homeless, finding a place to call home, securing vulnerable people from human trafficking, helping at-risk kids, representing people who cannot afford to hire legal aid, eradicating sickness, providing clean drinking water, delivering health care to people or expanding adequate health care access, improving education, kids learning to read so they have a chance to graduate, tutoring school kids so they can assimilate into society, ecological improvement, protecting the environment, working to create sustainable farming methods, creating jobs, the unemployed finding jobs, tackling prejudice and discrimination, developing software to help people communicate better, or pursuing other kingdom agendas, challenging systems that create and perpetuate family dysfunction, seeking peace, fostering economic development, enhancing people's lives and promoting beauty through art, music, drama, and literature, raising the quality of life, raising children to become responsible, life-enhancing adults. And so is the profound work of helping people recapture their rightful spiritual identity as human beings, image bearers of the King. So this is just a list that I came up. Things that we can do to partner with God in bringing His kingdom to earth. So this list can be way longer when it comes to the things we can practically do to partner with God, because that is His mission. That is what He's calling me and you into. He is saying, you know what, partner with me, because I want people to experience this perfect life. And I have chosen to live inside of Christians. That is my plan A for this world. I have chosen to live inside of Christians to become my temple and my body, so that people can experience me through them, through us. All of this is an expression of the restoration of Genesis 1 and 3 relationships that were broken. All efforts that enhance life as God intends are kingdom efforts. You can show the next slide, please, Zane. People who help people to experience life as God intended it to be. The total human activity that improves human and environmental conditions qualifies as kingdom expressions. Not just the people who are helped benefit by our efforts. We are enriched when we partner with God. If you are in a place where you are hopeless, where you look at the world and you think, how will I be able to raise children in a world that's just going backwards every day? If you look at the world and you are depressed, if you think, what will happen to me one day? Look at what's going on in the Ukraine. Look at this, look at that. If you're looking at the world and you're depressed, I can tell you now, the only thing that will make a difference is if you start to make a difference. Because then you'll have hope. Because then you are part of the solution. Because then you will experience God way deeper than you have by not doing it. I mean, that is what we read in Matthew 25. Jesus is saying, while you are helping people in need, while you are partnering with me to let my kingdom come to earth, you will experience me. That is what He's saying. you will get closer to me, because as you are doing it to them, you are doing it to me. I know this, and I speak out of experience. I've planted a children's home. I've been a house mother in a children's home for 3 years. I had 10 teenage daughters in a home that I mentored daily. I know. I've been very involved in poverty alleviation. In South Africa, started clinics for people living in squatter camps next to the church. 5,000 people living in the squatter camps. People dying daily, being stabbed, babies being born in the dirt, you know. And I know that that is where I experience God very deeply, is being involved with poverty alleviation. Because you get to know God on a deeper level when you do that. So let so when I started this message, I showed you a picture of the Avatar movie, the poster, and people wanting to escape this world because they desire to be in another perfect world. But my desire, and that's why I wrote this message, is that we don't have an escape mentality, but that we work to bring God's perfect harmony to earth, this reality, here and now. Can I pray for you? Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can awaken, the desire to serve you more deeply in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, that is my prayer today, is that you awaken your fire within us. That we will not just have a passion for you, but that we will have your passion for this world. The reason why you came here and why you died for this world, Lord, because you loved this world. So Lord, I pray that we will partner with you. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us as your body, as your temple. We want to be responsible, Lord, image bearers of you. Lord, show us how we can let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that in your name. Amen.